I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Capital One Cup Round 5 Review Show. Football Ramble calls in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Chaps, Round 5 is finished. It's over.
It's over. Forget about it. Because Round 6 is on the horizon.
It is indeed.
Hark, what is that I can hear?
Ooh,
football.
The sound of upsets.
Yes.
There were two upsets. In round five.
Cup set.
Yes. my goodness. It was a good round, I think we can all agree.
Yep. Yes.
We had
a lot of incident.
A lot of incident.
Some
weather
football related, some
even,
not.
Even played its part, yeah. Yeah. But we're going to start with Spurs 1, West Ham 2.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Can I start you all off with two chants heard?
Please.
One was, and this was brought to my attention by William Owens through the Facebook, shouts of Sherwood, you're getting sacked in the morning.
Yes.
Very strong. And the other one was possibly the most Cockney event to ever happen in the history of English football. West Ham fans singing to Spurs fans, Adebayor is mugging you off.
I mean, he
That's
is, to
really
be fair.
Funny.
And then he scored. So, yeah. Who's he mugging off now, eh? Yeah. Hammers? Irons?
Yeah. Them temporarily.
I think they're fine with that. I was with a mate of mine last night who's a West Ham fan, and we weren't watching the game, but he was catching up with it, and they'd gone 1-0 down, and he was like, oh, it's fine. We've got Mayer. Just sort of, you know, ironically, as people do now. And lo and behold, it turned out pretty well.
You took the mick out of him, but that's actually two goals of the year now.
It was my.
That's one, I think. Was it not the
it was
first?
My mate. Yeah, it was his first of the year, was it not?
Yeah, but
first
I think
13 months.
The last time he scored was about a year ago, yeah.
But what I remember of it, it was an absolute belter, though. So, he, they're good ones when they come.
And he also actually scored a beauty against Spurs last night because
he hit the bar, didn't he?
Smashed the bar, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was giddy.
Mm. Yes, he was indeed, just like a Yorkshireman's aunt. Tim Sherwood, he was in charge for the game. He probably won't be the interim manager that people were suggesting that he could be.
Booed off.
Maybe the end of the season.
Booed off in his first game.
I don't think it was him that was booed off.
No, I don't know about
well.
I think
you've got to take it, haven't you? They're booing.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to assume it's blanket booing.
Someone's got to accept it.
Even the mascot's got to take that.
Were they saying Kapoue?
If we learnt one thing about footballers, you can't let a boo go unclaimed.
Yeah, you've got to step up.
Yeah, that is true.
Take responsibility for a boo.
It was very interesting the way that Sherwood seemed to just automatically wrench the club completely back to the old school.
Yeah.
In like one interview on one formation.
Yeah. 4-4-2.
He essentially went,
no defensive midfielder.
No, exactly. In his first interview, he said, well, we've got a good group, we just need to get up and at them. Secondly, he plays, he just switches straight back, reverts the type of the old English type manager. Big man, little one out front, never did Quinn or Phillips on the arm. Townsend one wing, Lennon on the other, just chuck a couple of midfielders in the middle. That'll
whip
be
it
fine.
In. Give it them two, they'll burn it up the wing, whip it in.
Whip it in
early.
Yeah,
get
nod
in
downs.
Early.
Pick up nod downs.
Mm. Show them on the inside, get out. Out.
Yeah.
Out.
How are you going to win the ball back? Well, by kicks.
Well, we'll just keep it. We won't lose it, so it won't matter.
He was quite sort of unequivocal. He said that he deserves a crack. I was like, how exactly did you deserve a crack?
Did he say that?
He said it in the newspapers today. I'm almost certain
he did. Sure?
He said straight after the game. No, it was a later interview. He says, he deserves a go. He thinks he can do it. It's like, well.
Well, straight after the game, he was pretty. He's probably because he heard the boos and he was saying, well, whoever comes in, he's got a real tough job. And the club needs to appoint someone or whatever.
The way he said it was
somebody else's job.
And Tim Sherwood,
which I quite liked.
He also said that, Tim Sherwood was like piping up saying, "Oh, I'm not sure that it's going to be the right fit for me." It's like, Well, hang on a minute. Yeah. It's got to be the right fit for the club.
Uninterviewing yourself.
The right fit for me. What else? You're a youth team coach. How is it not going to be the right fit for you? It's a massive increase in salary, a massive increase in profile. You said you're an ambitious man in the last sentence. Mm. So how is it not going to be a fit for you?
For me, I don't see it as
being... Because he's not good enough.
I don't see him at the helm being a massive, massive problem for Spurs. Realistically, they ain't going to get into the European places, or certainly the European places that matter when it comes to the finances of the club. You know... Maybe give them a couple of million in the transfer market, maybe a couple of loan deals, and then just wait until the summer, see how it goes. They're not going to get relegated.
I don't think they need more players, do they?
No one of any note will take that job now.
Well, apparently De Boer's turned it down.
And Hiddink. And Hiddink.
Well, I think Sven would have it.
No one of any note.
Oh, come on. Serie A winner.
I just say...
What year was that again?
2000? 2001, was it?
Just give
it... not that long ago.
It's ages ago.
I would just say wait until the close season, give it a show until the end of the season, and the Spurs fans are just going to have to lump it, to be honest. They've had Champions League football in recent history,
Yeah, they should be happy with that, shouldn't they? They should be fine with it.
Newcastle fan.
To be fair, actually, when Harry Redknapp said, well, they haven't had it so good, maybe he was right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The fickle hand of fate. But to speak about the game more specifically...
Could we?
You also wondered about some of the players he played, whether they were fit or not, because Danny Rose hasn't played for a long time. Kirikez was rushed back. They had Kirikez and Capu centre-halves. Capu's not a centre-half. Kirikez wasn't fit. And they played Dembele and Sigurdsson in the middle. Two in the middle. You know, if you did that against a real... No disrespect to West Ham. I'll come on to disrespect them later. But if you did that against a really good quality team in the midfield, you'd get absolutely overrun, wouldn't you, these days?
Yeah.
You can't do that. And the way that West Ham set up was as soon as they saw Spurs go up and sort of push, just started lumping balls into the box and Spurs just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, they just immediately fell apart. They reacted almost like they'd gone 1-0 down rather than 1-0 up. They just didn't... They just seemed to forget what they were doing entirely. They were so headless at the back, and West Ham could just counter-attack them constantly, freely and easily.
They played into Big Sam's hands.
Absolutely.
Well, Jonathan Wilson tweeted from the game saying there was a moment when Sherwood pirouetted on his heel to berate the fourth official in front of Big Sam. And Big Sam apparently turned around and just shouted, "You're getting the hang of it!" before laughing uproariously. Which is amazing.
That is great. Good. Very good.
It's like the sort of thing a dad would say to a son.
Yeah.
My highlight of the game was when there was a drop ball and James Collins used it as an opportunity to shoot from the halfway.
Well, that was unbelievable.
That rattled them, though, didn't it?
That was their a first chance.
This is not friendly. This is it. We are coming for you.
To be fair, though, he didn't. It was. I mean, it's all in the technique. He's got the optimum angle.
He knows what he did.
But I'm not sure it was that. He just sort of stroked the ball up the pitch.
Oh, he was laughing about it afterwards.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Hugo Lloris was like properly fuming about it.
Yeah, but I don't see the problem. You punt the ball up the pitch. You cannot say, "Oh, he's trying to score from 70 yards."
No, it certainly looked like it.
He got it very close to the goal.
Are you seriously saying that the players were right to have a go at Collins for that?
Well, I think he's... No, I'm not saying they're right to have a go at him. I just think it's hilarious. It was too good to be an accident. It looked like a shot to me in his reaction.
Are you aware of the previous work of James Collins?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got about two West Ham goals in his career.
You're suggesting that James Collins can pinpoint a shot nearly in the top
right,
corner.
But I just... You know, I don't think it's as cut and dried as that.
I actually think Big Sam deserves a decent amount of credit for this game because he obviously saw that Sherwood and had instructed Spurs to try and kill off West Ham. And he also, to my mind, saw that they didn't have Dawson or Vertonghen at the back, who would eat up those long balls. Mm-hmm. They had an unsure, out-of-position centre-half, and Kirikez, who probably not fully fit. I think Kirikez is a good player, but he's probably not fully fit. They couldn't dominate that big long ball, and Big Sam knew that. Mm. And so as soon as they got one goal, to me, from what I saw, and I wasn't at the game, but it looked to me fairly straightforward that they're going to get another one, because there was at no point... Did they deal with what West Ham threw at them? And there's a bit of naivety, I think. The whole thing around the way Spurs have dealt with the sacking of ABB, the hiring in the interim basis of Sherwood, the way they set up against West Ham, the way they played, it's just all was just naive. You can say one word's naive.
But do you not think that Sherwood and the way it was, it's possibly, he probably thought, well, AVB's been naive, so this is how we're going to do it, mate.
And
the way Spurs
direct them, go at them,
and that's fine to play it a little bit more simple and all. But he was naive. He wasn't playing simple football. It was a bit naive, and I mean, Spurs came flying out the traps, didn't they?
And they made some really good chances earlier.
Yeah, Defoe probably should have scored, or he would have done on another day. Mm. And I think that's what he thought. He just maybe thought to himself, right, well, if we set up quite simply, we're good enough, players, and we're just going to blow them out of the way.
Yeah, match up sort of player for
player. And, of course, that's just not the way it goes these days.
No. And I also thought the way that Sherwood reacted in terms of what he spoke about afterwards in the press, in the conference, showed that he's very inexperienced. I mean, even as someone who's just a casual football observer could see. Like, there was a great bit where they said the journalist sort of like pushed him on a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, I don't know anything. And he said, and one of them said something like, oh, are you honestly telling me you have no idea if you'll be in charge against Southampton at the weekend?
Yeah, I mean.
And he said, no. And so, but surely you would say, surely if you had any sort of thing about you in terms of a PR mindset or looking to keep yourself in the job, yeah, you'd go, oh, well, that's all been dealt with internally, don't worry about it.
It makes
you look worse than you need to look.
Absolutely.
Even if it is ridiculously chaotic behind the scenes.
Yeah. But I've heard that from other managers where they, I don't know, you know, just taking it a game at a time, you know. Perhaps he didn't use the right language and stuff, but I've heard sort of managers sort of say, I don't know whether he'll be in charge in the next match. Just,
oh, well, I'm sure you have, but I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not ideal.
but he should be, though. That's another point we could say. I mean, this is the next match.
Because no one else will take it.
Well, Jim's absolutely right. The lack of joined up thinking, really, at that level, given that you're talking about hundreds of millions of pounds at stake for different reasons in terms of that club as a business, the lack of joined up thinking is incredible.
So it really is incredible.
Are you telling me that they fired AVB in a fit of pique because they were so annoyed with him and didn't even think about a successor?
Mm.
You know, if you read Alex Ferguson's autobiography that came out recently about how David Moyes was appointed, you know, he makes out, I haven't got to how, I can't remember the details, but he essentially makes out that they almost groomed Moyes well in advance. I mean, Ferguson was round Moyes' house having dinner with him and his wife and stuff. They took Bobby Charlton around, all that sort of stuff.
It's amazing that it didn't leak.
Of course, but it was lined up. You know, so as soon as Man United, and for all their faults, as soon as someone like Ferguson stands down, they're not going to be looking for 3 months for a new manager.
Different set of circumstances, though, isn't it? That's, you know, the end of a legacy and a real sort of high-profile, important handing over of the baton.
In any situation, if you two said, oh, you three all said, right, we're going to get rid of Luke off the ramble, presumably you'd have thought, what's going to happen?
Why would you say that? I mean, have you got a recording of it? Because I'm fairly certain that
this is awkward. But what I'm saying is you would probably think somehow of what was going to happen after that.
Yeah, of course.
It's a ridiculous set of circumstances.
No, you really have to make a snap decision.
Okay. All right, I'll see you later.
It's incredible the way their season is going now. Mm. Having spent so much money in the summer, having been so confident.
Mm.
It's mental.
Mm. I think they probably had a list of candidates. I don't think this AVB was a sacking was a knee-jerk reaction.
It's more like a...
There's another
kaboom.
Joke.
Chalk it off.
I think that... I mean, De Boer said... He was approached, I think, and he said, no, thank you very much. Mm. So
well, it's an odd time, isn't it?
It is an odd time.
For a decent manager to be leaving a position.
Well, I think they probably thought that he's not the man to take them into Europe, so they needed to get rid of him. And they, as I said, they probably had a list of candidates and went around and asked a few people, and they've said no. So with regards to grooming someone or something like that, I don't think it would have been on the cards.
But they're not going to be. They're not in a better position now. We saw from the game last night. Now I don't think they necessarily played that badly the whole game. They had a lion's share of possession, had a lot of chances, but West Ham came into it more and more, and Tottenham did seem to tire, especially with players who have come back from injury, which you'd expect. They got to the point where I think Kyle Walker was captain, wasn't he? Well, I'm not having. I think Kyle Walker's a good player, but I mean, really, is he captain material? He's a fullback as well, so you don't know whether that's really that beneficial. So you can't really argue that Spurs are going to become a better, well, put themselves in a better position football wise from what's happened with AVB. Mm. And I think we saw that last night. If we keep it on the game, West Ham pretty good value for their win in the end.
Well, they did. Mm. Pete, what do you reckon of the Adebayor goal?
I thought it was accomplished. I was used the word accomplished.
Mm. Nice technique.
I'm not going to use that word, the word you're trying to...
No, I said technique.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Jarvis' goal was a lovely finish as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It was indeed. Well, it was a... excuse me. I thought it was quite nice, actually, seeing Adebayor doing something good on the
football
pitch.
He did play very well in the sort of opening stages of the game. He held the ball up very, very effectively. Although there was a time where he should have crossed to Sigurdsson.
There's obviously some problem there behind the scenes with him and AVB because there's no reason he shouldn't be playing.
Well, there was just no chance of him ever being picked, and that was one of the reasons AVB was sacked, apparently.
Right.
That he and Daniel Levy were at loggerheads over that.
Right.
Because he'd sort of instructed him to
give him
a chance.
He's the highest paid player at the club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's standard, really. But anyway, it was a good win for West Ham, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a good win for West Ham. Jarvis, he got on the end of a nice pass from Taylor in the 80th minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was there for the taking for West Ham. I mean, you know, when they got that goal, Spurs had made a couple of substitutions. They didn't look too together at that point, and that's when Big Sam smells victory.
Mm-hmm.
The long balls came, Maiga having won a flick on that started the brief move for the first goal. He got on the end of a cross, and it was 2-1, and you thought, yeah, that you could see that happening. You could see it happening.
And they always got a third as well.
They did indeed, and that would have been a wonderful way to win it. Manchester City got three.
They did.
Against Leicester, Peter.
Yeah.
They just got the one.
I saw an upset. Leicester got QPR at the weekend.
Extra time.
Yeah.
Extra time, we said, didn't we?
Kolarov with possibly the goal of the round.
Beautiful.
What a free
absolute
kick.
Thunderbolt.
He's a fabulous free kick taker. My goodness.
And that came early on, which meant it then became obviously very difficult for Leicester. One thing, if you want any sort of cup upset, as we all know, what you need is a situation where the favourite team can't score, struggle, start to get frustrated, and then it starts to unravel.
Yeah.
And even it may not, but that's the sort of perfect sort of incubator conditions you need. And that goal came so early on that it was...
It's a reminder for the team like Manchester City, like, we're the better side here. Let's just get into our groove now. Dzeko started, and he got a couple of goals.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Aguero being out, that's great, isn't it, for City, that Dzeko's just gone straight in scoring goals. Yeah.
It's a big opportunity for him. He's got to be. I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking he must be one of, if not the best second string striker around.
In the world. Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous that he never played. Sure. And whenever he comes in, he scores. He's first string, mate. I would never disrespect a great man by calling him second string. It's great to see Rodwell play as well, by the way.
You just think to yourself, oh, Jack. Yeah.
Move. Oh, Jack.
He's had his injury problems, though, hasn't he?
He has.
But he made some lovely runs from
his selection problem.
Yeah.
James Milner was really effective again. He set up both Dzeko's goals.
He loves an away trip at the moment.
Yeah, he does. He's turning into a real sort of
Munich or Leicester
key player.
I think James Milner's in really good form at the moment. I think he gets a lot of bad press.
He's sort of seen as almost like a water carrier, isn't he? But he's proving to be so much more than that at the moment.
Because he played in that really good Villa side under O'Neill, I think it was.
Yeah.
When they really did assemble a good side, and he was excellent for them.
He's technically very good.
I think he's a really good player. I think
just in a team like City, there's so many other eye-catching players, it may go unnoticed.
And do you not also think, because of the way he performs for England, he's made to do this sort of almost containing role if he plays out wide? Generally, it seems to be that if he gets picked for England in that wide position, because England are frightened of the opposite winger, and they want him to put a real shift in, you know?
Well, he might get a few run-outs at the World
Cup. But I'm certain there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, he was loving that group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got much more chance of playing now. Yeah. Him and Phil Jones, absolutely loving it.
He's starting in Manaus.
Yeah.
James Milner, let me tell you, first name on the team sheet.
Now, Pellegrini said after the game that he was impressed with the side because it was a really professional win, he called it, after a game against Munich and Arsenal, and that's indeed what it was. Bang on the money.
Can we also just agree that, I know you said that Kolarov was probably the goal of the round, but there was a lovely move at one point where Dzeko didn't finish it, but oh my God, it was superb.
Yeah.
For a fair few passes, nice little few flicks and flourishes, and Dzeko had his shot saved in the end by Kasper Schmeichel, but it was a beauty of a
move. Kasper Schmeichel's beard?
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. I endorse that, Yeah, and I like the way that Kasper Schmeichel, some of the stuff he does is reminiscent of his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Like the star jumper stuff. It's great stuff. Keeping the dream alive.
I say it's a bad beard that goes unendorsed by Luke Moore.
Indeed, yeah. Oh, it's a Pete Donaldson beard, essentially.
Can you call that a beard? Can't believe you did that. No. He has a beard. But
of sorts. Sort of,
yeah.
Tyler's rudeness.
Stoke City 0, Manchester United 2. Peter, play suspended.
That was a mess, wasn't it? Bit of a mess.
After 29 minutes due to hail.
I like when the ref was just hiding in the kind of plastic tunnel going, oh, we're going out in there. Looks a bit moody.
Well, let me tell you why. Johnny Evans said, they were the hardest hailstones I've ever felt. They were actually coming into your eyes so you couldn't keep your eyes open.
Filling in his book of previous notable hailstones.
Yeah. and I've been to Hailfest 2000.
I have known weather phenomena.
I liked it that the Capital One Cup actually gave us the definitive wet and windy night in Stoke.
It did, yeah.
For us all to test ourselves. And Mark Clattenburg fell short.
Yes.
Did we not joke about them having a hail machine? On the last show.
Maybe.
We may have done.
Other games not that far away from Stoke were cancelled, called off, abandoned.
But Mark Clattenburg has basically done his chances of going to the World Cup as a referee no good at all by showing that he cannot do it at Wembley.
He's not a big game player.
Yeah, he's not.
Not a big game.
Not a big Hale player.
It looked like to me, as Mark Clattenburg took the teams off, that he was saying something to one of the managers, and it looked to me like he was saying, I can't see, as in I can't do anything. Might want to limit the amount of hair gel you're using then, Mark. Because that was definitely a factor.
Hey, Danny Welbeck couldn't see either.
No, fair enough.
So I think we can all agree that
it looked horizontal. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was painful.
God.
I think he just went, Mark Clattenburg just went, you know what, I can't bother with this.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
So cold.
What are we doing here?
The viewers won't be able to see me, so why are we bothering?
Maybe exactly. Just stop liking football.
Goggle boxes on.
Yeah. That would be good, wouldn't it? But they came back after having a little break. And
why did the fans boo when the players all came back on again? Well, like, boo, boo. That's why you're here.
We want Hale.
We couldn't go in. It's not fair.
Were the fans on the pitch having a game, maybe?
Johnny Walters didn't go in. No, he stayed out.
Yeah, he did.
Press-ups.
Yeah, apparently when Clattenburg came off, Walters was shaking his head.
Yeah, what is wrong with you? I wonder where you lot have gone. I turn my back. Yeah,
I've scored 10 goals.
He's still just pressing.
Oh, dear.
Right, ref, just so you know, I've scored 10 goals. I've also been booked. Bad challenge.
And missed the pen. Ashley Young hammered the ball home.
Oh, he did. He hit it with all the frustration of every goal he hasn't scored this season.
Leaving it late with Young.
And Ben Charwood comes on the Facebook and says, if it wasn't for the advertising boards, Ashley Young would still be sliding.
He nearly
fell over it, didn't he?
Yeah. He would have dived as well.
Were you pleased for Young, or would you just think, no, that's about time?
It was just,
a bit of both.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a round for first goals for ages.
Yeah.
Because Ashley Young, I think that was his first goal in 30-odd games. Eagles was his first for years, we've already said. I think Patrick Evra was his first for ages as well.
Which is more understandable. Great finish from Evra.
Adebayor as well. Evra was a great goal.
Assuming Adebayor didn't have scored a previous round.
Dzeko. But just that he's playing at all, I suppose.
Evra's goal made his right foot look like a real swiggler, didn't it? It was like a golf club.
But if you don't, if you didn't focus on the technique of the right leg,
the straight leg
of the no, but where the ball went, it was a glorious.
No shape to it. Yeah,
lovely foot.
But I sort of wasn't necessarily pleased for Young, because I think that the comments he made quite recently about the diving and stuff. I mean, he had an opportunity there to say, I'm not sure if you guys saw the comments because he was criticised.
No, I did. Yeah,
and he had an opportunity to say, well, do you know what? I actually regret what I did there and I shouldn't have done it and I won't be doing it again. But he actually went, well, at the end of the day, it's a referee's decision.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's not, you're making the decision
just
to
don't
dive.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very true. Rooney and Van Persie were not there, so Welbeck was up front with Valencia and Young either side.
Chicharito. Featured as well.
Yeah, he did. Nice. So did Fletcher. Another little run out again at the end.
United have not conceded a goal yet in the competition.
Nice.
Which can you imagine if they won it without conceding a goal?
My
good for Moyes.
Well, I'll tell you something. If you think about it from David Moyes' point of view, I'm not suggesting this is the case this season, but certainly in recent years under Ferguson, United's record in the FA Cup has been poor. They're not going to win the Premier League this season. This is a big tournament for them. It really is, and I'd be desperate to win it. Jay Reid, who's obviously a Man United fan, on the Facebook said, Darren Fletcher running around the midfield and spraying the passes about like a tall pal Xavi was my highlight of the
rest.
Yeah, it's nice to see
More Busquets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Xavi's a stretch, even for Darren. He would say that. It was really nice to see the managers being so refreshingly honest after the game as well.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Mark Hughes said, they just had a bit too much for us. They took the game away from us sort of thing. And David Moyes said, we could have done this.
We had a bit too much for him.
Yeah.
Did you see that Hale?
Absolutely right. The last or second upset of the round, of course, was Sunderland 2, Chelsea 1.
Yeah.
Chelsea looked in control and had chances throughout, and they won a goal.
Whereas Brown disagrees.
Well, no, but they were in control for the large periods up until...
He wasn't letting anything by, was he?
Well, they Chelsea did score.
Yeah, he just ignored that one.
Okay.
That's Catamol's fault.
He's so defensively sound, he doesn't acknowledge when they've conceded.
And Catamol did undermine him, to be fair.
Yeah, that's...
Lee! What did I tell you earlier?
I kept them all out!
Yeah!
De Bruyne, Sherlin, Willian in midfield, Eto up front. Will I am. And I'll tell you what, though, Eto, he could have made it 2-0.
Still
great chance.
Misfiring.
Can I be the first to say that I actually think Chelsea are in a bit of trouble?
They're out, mate.
There's
no coming back.
Can I be the last to say that I think Chelsea...
they're just not putting games to bed, are they?
I just mean Mourinho and Chelsea in general. I think, you know what it reminds me of? I'm not sure you boys probably remember this. Last season, around November time, Spurs went through a phase of just conceding loads and loads of late goals. Mm-hmm. And AVB almost came out in the press and said, we've got to sort this out. And he did. And they were on a massive unbeaten streak for ages. And I was speaking to a Spurs fan, a friend of mine earlier, and I think he said it was about 16 games they went undefeated. And Mourinho's been saying the same thing. We're controlling games, as you said, Marcus. Mm. We're not finishing teams off. We're not scoring enough goals. And he's been saying it now for quite a long time.
Yeah. Mm. You can see he's fuming.
Yeah, I wonder if he can actually sort it out.
Yeah.
Would the Mourinho of 7 or 8 years ago have had this problem?
No.
Would he have had the problem in the first place? Probably not. Would he have not been able to sort it out? Probably not. Would he be criticising his players in public? Probably not. Mm. A lot of these things
Well, I think the criticising the players in the public is undermining them. And that's the kind of tactic where players go, right, I want to move.
Yeah, I don't want to play
this guy. And if you look at the Chelsea side as well...
It's what he did at Madrid.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the backbone like he did previously. You know, Terry, Lampard, Drogba. Yeah. Obviously, Cech's still there. As are Terry and Lampard. But I think the point I'm making is that Terry doesn't always start. Lampard doesn't have a guaranteed start as well for Chelsea. And they were the main men of that side. Mm-hmm. And he got pally with them very quickly.
The force they were, those players.
Well, they're not. No. Yeah, they're not the force they were. But also, if you look at all the other players as well, it's not as tight-knit as that team. And I think he's struggling a little bit to bring it all together and make them a Mourinho side. When he struggled at Madrid for that.
Does he want to get rid of some of these players, though? Because, I mean, by his own admission, between the main three strikers, 13, not really good enough at this stage in the season.
No, but he likes a small squad, does Mourinho. Yeah. And there's a lot around this, and people perhaps... you know, the more players you have and the bigger names you have, they'll all want to play, and it's more difficult to manage that. So I think they are struggling, and they're out the cup, for crying out loud. Yeah. And Sunderland, as soon as they got that equaliser from Barini...
They looked most likely, yeah.
They did look the most likely. Key,
even before his goal, was fantastic.
Schwarzen made a great save for him.
Yeah. 41.
I know, blimey.
No, I think he's 42. Wow. I think he's 42
41,
now.
According to the commentator.
Oh, is he? Okay, right, fair enough. I was really pleased with Key because he obviously played in the League Cup final for Swansea last year, but he had to play centre-back. Which I felt, I mean, obviously you do what you can and they won 5-0, but he was never really troubled that much that day. And he's a good midfield player, I think. And for him to do that was I think, admirable. And so I was pleased that he actually managed to sort of affect the game in a positive way.
Two minutes before penalties.
Well, indeed.
It's such a huge thing for Sunderland as well, given their terrible position in the Premier League. It's such a great thing to give them confidence in their own ability.
Some people will say, oh, that's another two like games that. From now, but it's no way. No. I mean, winning the game is great for them, especially against a big team. Mm. They beat Man City as well, don't forget, at home, didn't they? Mm. This game really showed up for me that although we talked about what Pete just mentioned about Chelsea's problems with their striker scoring, just to sort of feed into what you were saying, Marcus, about the players they've got who aren't maybe as good as they were and the backbone, I watched the game and it made me think that Chelsea have got a really soft centre. Mm. Like, you think that the midfield players they've got who sit behind that front three, that sort of attacking midfield three, I mean, it's Lampard, Mikel and Essien. None of them are good enough in my view anymore. The only exception to that is Ramirez. Yeah, whose name is almost an anagram of armies, which fits quite well.
Yeah.
But him aside, they seem quite sort of vulnerable in that area of the pitch. And you wonder whether they really need to strengthen that area. But like you say, he doesn't like having a big squad, does he? So I don't know how he's going to angle that. He might have to move players on to bring another one in. But I mean, it's a very brave manager who moves on... Lampard or something, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He'd love a Fernandinho.
He would absolutely love that, yeah. Mm. It was nice to see Barini get a goal, by the way.
It was.
After his injury problems, you know. And David Luiz was really poor for that goal.
Yeah.
He left a big gap, didn't he, between his feet?
Often does.
And you see strikers slide the ball between the keeper's legs all the time, don't you?
So
he essentially just gave the striker a target. Mm.
It's that thigh gap that all ladies want.
It is. Darren Lewis has got it, and he flaunts it.
that is round five, really, in a nutshell. Do we have any correspondence, Luke?
Yeah, I've got a few more people giving their highlight of the round. Yeah. Peter Curran on the Twitter says, a lovely Korean man won the key to my heart.
Ah, yes.
You like that. Darren Cox, who's obviously a West Ham fan, says, seeing my beloved Hammers go 5-1 up on aggregate against Spurs this year, surgery may be required to get the smile off my face.
Five away goals as well.
Indeed, absolutely. You can't argue with that, can you? Jerry Brennan says, rather mean-spirited, I liked Welbeck nearly getting knocked over by the hail. Poor lad.
Aww.
What's to like about that?
Nothing.
He's lanky.
Absolutely nothing. What was I going to say to you? What we got here? Oh, a streaker on the pitch at Sunderland.
Oh, I didn't know.
You can't argue with that.
Great.
It wasn't really streaky, he just had his top off. but he managed to get by.
Well, it's a streaker of sorts.
Someone actually, I'll tell you what he
did. Semi-streaker.
The run.
A man from the northeast.
Yeah, yeah. The run, the run the pitch Invader did, which obviously we don't endorse, but the run the pitch Invader did was very similar to Ryan Giggs' goal for Man United. And someone's put the Martin Tyler commentary over the top of it. That's very strong piece of work.
That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I'll finish off with a quote from Facebook.
I want to see this.
From Daniel,
can we end the show now?
From Daniel Goodfellow, who says, as a Sunderland fan, just having some success after 10 to 20 years of yo-yoing, being the worst team in Premier League history twice, suffering through Power De Canio, Steve Bruce, Howard Wilkinson, Roy Keane, Ricky Sabrega, Nyra Nosworthy, John Stead, Clive Clark, Russell Anderson, make yourself comfortable, Kevin Kyle, James McFadden, Louis Zaha, Greg Halford, he's ex-Pompey, leave him alone, and innumerable other inexplicable employees of this club, and yet we're still bottom at Christmas and 5 points adrift, so the success is somewhat pyrrhic, but we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is the spirit of a football fan.
Well done. End of Christmas.
That's Daniel Goodfellow. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
That's the effect of round five off the Capital One Cup.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
A shot in the arm that you need.
Well, we have a semi-final lineup, don't we? Mm. The first leg's played on 7th of Jan, and the second leg is on the 21st of Jan. It's Manchester City at home to start with against West Ham United. And Sunderland versus Manchester United.
You say we've got a semi-final, lineup. I think we've got a final now.
The big two Manchester teams being kept apart could be a really good showpiece.
Well, you'd have thought Chelsea and Spurs would have gone through, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
Certainly Chelsea. Before we go, though, make sure you visit the facebook.com/Capital One UK. The Facebook. Yes, I did say that. This is, of course, Capital One's Facebook page where you can get involved in competitions of the latest debate around the Cup. There is a competition that's running on this Facebook page. It's called Grounds for Improvement Competition. And this allows fans to submit a photo of their ground along with an explanation of why it needs improving. Expect Fratton Park to a picture, Luke, I'd imagine.
Oh, I leave it.
Can I do Cali Road, Market Road pictures? There's a lot of graffiti around.
What, in North London?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, Market Road, you mean?
Market Road, yeah. Cali Road, Market Road, yeah.
Well, the process to enter is very easy. As I say, you just have a photo of the ground, maybe a specific area of the ground as well, and a convincing reason why that ground should win the prize, which is £75,000 worth of improvement.
Jesus.
Emirates Stadium, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
10 runners up.
Gunnosaurus, a bigger cannon.
Yeah, that's right. 10 runners up will receive £5,000 worth of improvement of their suggested grounds.
Good stuff.
Mm.
There you go.
Facebook.com/Capital One UK, is it?
Indeed it is.
Excellent.
So, yeah, we'll be back in January with more Capital One Cup business. So there we are, chaps. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And that was the Football Ramble in association with Capital One Cup, the credit card that supports the supporters. See you in January.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.